people all over the world. Welcome to another episode of Escapism. I am your host, Zaire. Escapism is brought to you by Rebel Life Media on Get It Poppin' Radio. Yo, check this out. It is Martin Luther King Day weekend. As I record this, some of you will be hearing this on Martin Luther King Day. Some of you will be hearing this before Martin Luther King Day. Some of you will be hearing this after Martin Luther King Day. Nonetheless, we definitely want to pay homage to MLK and other leaders in American history who have fought, lived, and died for this country, to civilize it, to show that all people are equal and all people have value. So we definitely pay homage. You know, it's crazy because sometimes you have parties and events during MLK weekend and no one will even mention MLK's name, but they'll capitalize off of the weekend and off of the holiday. And you know, we just want to remind people to remember what the weekend, the day, is all about. And it's about being better people. It's about building a better nation. It's about building a better world. And honoring the legacy of those who really fought hard so that we can have the liberties that we have today. So, with that being said, once again, welcome to Escapism. We have, we want to give props to A Day's TV. A Day's TV is airing our film, Adina Howard 20. That's a Rebel Life Media project. And they're also playing other films like Cornered, Foul Mouths, A Teenage Rage, Roommates, and Backpackers. But they have lots of programming, other shows that you can watch, shows, movies, things of that nature. Make sure you check out A Day's TV. If you have Roku, if you have Amazon Fire TV, Google, Chromecast, you can download the app and you can watch A Day's TV. That's A-D-E-Y-S-TV. Also, you can watch it on iTunes as well. We have music that we're about to play for you, and we also have a special guest as well. You know, in keeping in tune with the celebration of Martin Luther King Day, we are playing music a little different today. Artists that we feel have represented the struggle and represented the life of a person like a Martin Luther King or any other person that has given time and sacrifice to the betterment of society. And so what I want to say before I announce these artists is that, you know, a lot of times when we talk about black history and we talk about issues that have to do with black people, we talk about the sad things. And so this, or just the struggle in general, but this playlist is what I want to represent, where we talk about songs that talk about struggle as well as talk about uplifting things and happy things and love and life, because life is everything. It's not just about what you hate. It's not just about what you have to overcome. It's also about celebration. It's also about being happy. It's also about finding love and things of that nature. So we have music by the following artists: India RE, two songs by her; The Floesses, two songs by her; Jessica Cara Moore, two songs by her; Public Enemy, one song by them; Killer Mike, one song by them; and then finally, we have Erica Marks, formerly known as Sexy. We have one song by her, and she's also our special feature interview for this episode. So before we get to that interview, let's hear the music.
This is called I'm Not My Hair. Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was the source of so much laughter, 15 when it all broke off, 18 and I went all natural, February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do, oh, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks are gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations. No, no. I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul. Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey, I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations, no, no. I am not my head. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within. There's the way I wear my hair, make me a better person. There's the way I wear my hair, make me a better friend. Oh, 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 oh. There's the way I wear my hair determine my integrity. I am expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised God if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh, on national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bow-headed like a full moon shining. Singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey,
I am not my hair.
I am not this skin. I am not your expectations. No, no. I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within, yeah.
I am not my hair.
Shave it closer, but one of rock locks that don't take a bit away from the soul that I got. If I want to wear it braided all down my back, I don't see nothing wrong with that, no.
So good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. In the little things and the joy they bring. Will be okay. Call in the morning for my my little sister singing to me happy birthday. In the quest for fortune and fame, don't forget about the simple thing. It's the little things and the joy they bring. Is lost sight of my goals. I do this for the love of music, not for the glitter and gold. Got everything that I prayed for, even a little more. When I asked to learn humility, this is what I was told. It's the little things and the joy they bring. It's the little
my sister. when I faced all my fears,
when you are brown, when you are brave, when you walk over glass like water, when you know your eyes are borrowed like time, when you peel off your skin for the very first time. Fear is never in style in the Mecca of the blue. Fear never lives in the gut of the new. You want homes, and I just want to build my home. You want homes, and I just want love in my hands. You want homes, and I'm not interested in fans. You love me inside my magic, and I just want you to see You already had him. It is in the telling when someone asks. It is the way he holds the glass, licks the surface, examines without touching. It is the way our energy takes over rooms. It is the subtle conversation. It is the freedom of emancipated language. It is the words scribbled inside my skin. It is the curve of the line, the beauty of the lie. Stories passed down through generations of pain and pride, ocean and tide. Water remembers, water returns. African mermaids blending with dark sand. It is the danger of the dance. The upright part of the bass, the dice roll drum, the cymbal tease, the last laugh, the addiction to this moment. Where else did I put it? Don't know where to put it. Place it, bury it deep in my chest, back of my throat. Where should I hide it on this stage? Should I give it to you? Here is my honesty, my work undressed. Legs stretched across piano, traded like cattle, raped like animal, left for dead, sucked dry from inspiration. In love with the idea of living long enough to simply write about it. Push it out my body and watch my son slowly grow into it. You said you want a poem. Now what you gonna do with it? Huh? Etta, Abby, Whitney, Billy, Nina, Phyllis. How much time you got? I'm a body of clocks, I'm the master of mics, I'm the metaphor for survival, I'm the gold they use to build their churches, a beautiful idea to flirt with, but who shall I marry? The moonlight, the sunrise, the white dove, the wolf, an eastern wind, this music, a prayer, how many babies we gonna make inside a song? Which revolution, which nation shall we rule? The island of the spirit world, the beauty of the believers, the carpenters, the men who build the dreamer, placed you on the front line of their planet. One day, the stars will line up between breath and ink and voice, between reality and choice. Temper up the stinky stairs on the subway station.
Twin boys, 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 twin boys,
twin boys, Mexican, Latino, Indian, African, any child in America wearing Yankees jackets, playing tag, double murder, child stealers. Watch them running without worry, laughing with the sunset. How can they be so happy in this ghetto? How can they be so happy in this ghetto? Running past the preppy drug dealers, shifting their smooth feet to avoid the green glass. Four legs find the door to an open apartment. This time they made it, unaware of how dangerous their footsteps seem. So close to home, so close to home. Fat girl, 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 white V-neck t-shirt, bra too small, stuffed inside tight jeans, ponytail slick back, 40-year-old lipstick and dream catcher eyes. They follow her, the old men and the teenagers. They whistle and yell. They follow her, but she is lost on her own block. She wants to believe she is more beautiful than her block. When she grows up, she wants to be big, big as a house, with brick windows and paper doors. She wants to draw the doorknob orange and let anyone in who'll give her a little. Man said he was gonna make her big. Man said he was gonna make her big. She wants to be big, big as a house. She'll let anyone in, yeah, anyone in who'll give her a little attention.
White blonde lady on heroin. White blonde lady on heroin. White blonde lady on heroin.
Daddy's mama, giving black folks the what you doing uptown stare down. White blonde lady on heroin broke her arm on New Year's Eve, partying with her friends, prostituting on the local playground. Her bones are sleeping inside the elevator. She has a key but doesn't live in my building. I sometimes live in my building and I can never find my keys. She smiles at my family when she can find her teeth. She wants to get high, but he's falling down. She wants to get high, but he's falling down. She wants to get high, but he's falling down. This is a game she plays with herself every night. White black lady on heroin is somebody's mama. Brown eyes, gave birth to twins. One is a little fat girl who doesn't know she's already beautiful, so she dyes her hair blonde, snorts, shoots, and smokes herself skinny. She, any child in America, she, any child in America, with 12 hands, praying for a bigger house, anybody but her own body, is somebody's baby, carrying bags of groceries, waiting for someone to notice them, walking up 158th Street, walking up
WELOVE
108
FM.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Come on.
What we got to say?
Yeah.
Power to the people. Know the language.
white man means you a Negro. What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Blunt or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
I just bought some new chuckers. The old ones. Yep. Now on suckers, big bad killer, big black gorilla, King Kong on you. Stepping fist, funky, flunky, getting the booty for your master. I don't fear no man, not Bush, not Clinton, not Osama. Ask your Uncle Thomas how he choose over Obama. You could have $1 million and a white collar. Liberation costs more than a damn dollar. It costs what? Gay, King Gay. $1 billion don't make you an ex-slave. With an attitude since fifth grade, I never behave. I'd rather be a dead man than a live slave. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on them. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on them. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on them. Well, I'm gonna. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. I'm here to deprogram you. Don't forget what they made your great grandmama do. What they made your great granddaddy do. Without a dollar or a penny or a thank you. The same wanna gank you. Cause they hate you and the that you came through. Could anybody tell me that it ain't true? That these ain't out to hurt you. They'll lock you up, beat you up and work you. Put your life on a 30-year curfew. Little cell, little window for you to look through. Even got a little chair where he can cook you. Please, I'ma be in the breeze. Beat him up with my brain like the Japanese. Now I'm overseas and I'm trapping these. Thank God I didn't have to. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on him. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on him. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on him. Well, I'm gonna. Put the pressure on him. Put the pressure on him, homie. Put the pressure on him. Put the pressure on him, homie. Put the pressure on him. Black preachers with your pulpit. Our king had dreams and a big vision. All you give us is government and religion. Is you a freedom fighter or stool pigeon? Is you down for your people in the big mission? Are you a dirty working for Clinton? Are you a dirty working for Bush? Another message for the politicians. Better get the police off quickly. If another old lady die in this city, swear to God we'll burn out. And got your ass to a man. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on them. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on them. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on them. Well, I'm gonna. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Cause pressure must buy. Pressure must buy. The red dogs at Rampart running rampant. These sandwich in New York killed a young brother. In Atlanta killed a grandmother. And politicians saying save the planet. That saved us from the black helping kill Sean Bay. I hope it's 5 degrees hotter for your hell. Race crazy, less than trash. I hope when Jesus come back, so you burn in hell till you turn white ash. To the one that says sorry, tell them kiss out. We don't need it. You can keep it for yourself. I wish you nothing but pain and bad health. I hope luck run away from you and wealth. No honor in life, no honor in death. You a to us.
We can say what we like. Put the pressure on them. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on them. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on them. Well, I'm gonna. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them. Put the pressure on them, homie. Put the pressure on them.
Negro leaders have fought for civil rights. They fought. for civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And every time, anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.
Yo, Kurt, drop the beat.
Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious.
In the zone, I'm moving on, still kicking it with my microphone. No cap in here, just state the facts. My life's rent like I'm on track. On track, success, kind of sad, it be the best. Outstanding, sobo, brown skin, remarkable. I play to win, not to lose. If you lose, that's on you. Loser, so lame. I want the money, fame. I'ma stay the same. Realist, top notch, authentic, endless. DC, do you, don't do me. Shining, so bright, aim high, my game's tight. I know you're listening, take heed. You don't wanna look like a Marguerite, ain't stopping me. Sexy, competition, there is none. Executive, status, truly yours, the baddest, yeah.
Top notch, superb, top notch, superb. Top notch, superb, and bodacious. Top notch, superb, top notch, superb. Top notch, superb, and bodacious. Top notch, superb, top notch, superb. Top notch, superb, and bodacious. Top notch, superb, top notch, superb. Top notch, superb, and bodacious.
Thorough, looking at my haters saying hello. Exceeded expectations, so superb, baby, they know. Divas, we do this. Broke is clueless. Bum dudes, we don't see. Can't compensate with no money. Not a gold digger, just on my grown woman. So strong, top notch, bodacious. I'm a lung screaming, I made it. Doing everything I dreamed of. Running my own destiny. Not a punk rock, but I'm a rebel. Making global history. Not chins to that, toast up. Life's good, let's lift it up. Bottom gear, we bring them out. Boss status, got clout. On the cloud, I'm living it. Top notch and bodacious. Blowing kisses in the air. Truly yours, the baddest.
Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb, top notch superb, top notch superb and bodacious. Top notch superb.
All right, we hope you enjoyed that playlist. Hope you enjoyed the music. What we have up next is an interview with a special young lady. Her name is Erica Marks. Now, for those of you who are from my hometown of Cleveland, you may know her as one-fourth of the hip-hop group, the DOC Showstoppers. They have been nominated for Ohio Hip Hop Awards. They had they've been featured in Murder Dog magazine. They've had concerts or a concert that was featured on TiVo a few years back. Definitely accomplished a few things over their career. They're no longer active, but as people, they're doing productive things. And one of those members, Erica Marks, tells her story, shares about the group's history, what they had to go through during the time that they were performing. Also, what she's doing now as a person who is a leader in the community, looking out for the youth in Cleveland, Ohio. So, you know, definitely this person is living the legacy and living what Dr. Martin Luther King and others would be proud of today. So we saved this interview. We did it a few months back, actually maybe about 2 months back, but we saved this interview especially for this episode because we felt like it was a good representative of what Martin Luther King Day is all about. So without further delay, here's Erica Marks.
Here is a artist who went by the name of Lil Sexy, who is now going by her name, Erica Marx, formerly of the DLC Showstoppers, which was a rap group out of Cleveland. And we're going to talk about that whole experience of being an independent artist in Cleveland through like the 2000s into the 2010s. What was going on during that time, what went on with her, her group, and also like the positive things that she's doing today. So, what's happening, E?
Hey!
So, E right now, like I met her years and years and years ago when she was a young child. Now...
That was a super long time ago.
Yeah, it's not even
crazy when I think about that now.
It's not even an exaggeration. Now she's a grown woman with children and things. But let's talk about this. You started with a rap group back in, I want to say, was it 2005?
Yeah.
Okay, so 10 years ago, pretty much. You started with a rap group called the DLC Showstoppers out of East Cleveland, Ohio. For those of us who remember and who don't, let's talk about how that group started.
It actually started for two reasons. First off, my little sister, she was real silly when she was younger, and she started rapping. Like, I think she was battling Tay or Toy or something like that at Tay's house. And that just kind of gave us the idea of, like, well, maybe we could do this. And then it was some music that came out around that time where, to us, the lyrics were, like, so horrible. And we were like, oh, if they can rap, we can rap. So that's kind of how we got started. We started off modeling first, and then we got into the music.
So just to let people know, DLC Showstoppers is a four-woman group. Where you had yourself, who was known as Lil Sexy, you had Boy Toy, you had Ms. Luck, and you had Tay Tees. And all four of you, you all knew each other since you were children, right?
Yep, Tay stayed across the street. Well, let me start off by saying me and Toy are cousins. So we grew up together, and then Tay stayed across the street from us. And then me, Toy, and Tiff went to school together and introduced Tiff to Tay, and then we all became one.
And you, Toy, and Tiff were all cheerleaders, right?
Yes, Shaw High.
Okay, so they were Shaw High cheerleaders, and I went to Shaw High too, but a little bit before them. But they were Shaw High cheerleaders, and then they turned into the toughest rappers in East Cleveland. So let's have fun with that real quick. Well, you guys were cheerleaders. You had to smile all the time, right?
Of course. Oh, yeah. You gotta have to smile. Yeah, yeah.
And then when you became rappers, you didn't smile at all, right?
Sometimes, but you know what was crazy? Like, when I look back at some of the videos that we're in, I'm cheesing in some of those videos. I just couldn't help it. So, yeah, sometimes we didn't smile, but sometimes I did.
Maybe you were just happy at the moment.
I probably was, or too pumped up or whatever.
You guys were, you had a very aggressive feel. At the same time, like, because during that time period, you had it was an emerging rap scene with a lot of young artists, people that you can name like Chip the Ripper and Al Fats, who have gotten some national exposure. Machine Gun Kelly was finding his way around the city at the time. Who else? Ray Jr. You can name a lot of people who were finding their way and trying to get some kind of recognition in the city. You all were right in the middle of it, and there were girl groups at the time and female artists at the time who were doing it, but you guys did it a little different. Just describe why, you know, you had to, let's say, like, it was a female group called Exclusive. There was, you know, the So Sassy Girls, you had Mosquitoes, you had a lot of these female artists who very, we would say, even, I mean, they were they had an aggressiveness, but it was a very delicate aggressiveness, if I could say it. Like, you know, that may be an oxymoron, where you guys seem like you had a Smash Mouth style of performing while still being feminine.
Yeah.
So describe that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying describe, like, how you guys did it and why you chose to do it that way.
We were just really being ourselves. Like, we didn't sit around and say, you know, we're going to come up with this style and we're going to roll with that. We just rapped about really, like, how we felt or about what we were thinking about at that time. I mean, we were from E.C., and we definitely wanted to let that be known. I mean, back then, it was like you mentioned, the other groups and other female rappers, it was almost kind of competitive in a way, because everybody wanted to be best. Or you had, like, different media outlets back then, newspapers, Colin Post, or I think even the Plain Dealer was doing rap articles for a minute. And everybody wanted to be recognized. And people were getting deals. We wanted that deal. You know, we wanted to set ourselves apart from the other groups or other female artists. And we just wanted to make ourselves be known, that's all, and be respected as women.
Being respected as a female artist in hip-hop sometimes can be a challenge. And I'm sure you all had your share of challenges. However, for me, on the outside looking in, it seemed like whenever someone gave you guys a chance and checked you out, that they did respect you. Did you feel that? Did you feel that way?
They did, but now that I'm a little older, they did give us a chance, but I feel like it was a lot of times where we should have been cut in on some money, and we didn't get that. I feel like sometimes when men are involved, they're going to get their cut, you know. I feel like when females are involved, men are going to try to take advantage if they can. But, you know, we were learning. I don't have any grudges. We were learning it. And we was just on the ground. We didn't care. Well, we did care and we didn't care. But, you know, it's definitely a difference, I feel like, with men and women in the music industry.
You know, there is, and I cannot dispute that, but I think a lot of it had to do with dealing with young artists. Because a lot of y'all are very, very young, like 19, 20, 21, with limited knowledge of, you know, how to get money through entertainment.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so, because I saw guys getting screwed over on the money side as well, where, like, you know, they got a whole crowd there singing their songs and chanting their names, and one guy's leaving out with all the money, you know.
Yeah, so, you're right.
So, you know, I just think that it's a thing that, I mean, and you see it in the mainstream too, where young artists often get taken advantage of because they're young artists, you know? So that's unfortunate. But, before you all, as much as DOC was very underground, very independent, very, gritty, you all had some accomplishments along the way. And, you know, when you think about the group, what are you most proud of when you think about the time that you all had together and what you all did?
I'm most proud of the music that we made. Like, when I listen to some of the songs that we made, I get chills. Some of the songs that we made were very heartfelt. They meant a lot to us, or I know what we had to do, or, you know, just remembering us sitting around coming up with lyrics for certain songs, or tears maybe being shed for certain songs. That's what means the most to me. That's what I loved about our group. That's what I'm most proud of, the music that we made. and that we made sure that we represented for the late.
Did you all have a moment when you felt like, okay, we are about to make it? Like did you have that moment? I mean, because I don't know, like, I think people judge success based off of like a big conception that the world has, saying, oh, you're going to be making millions of dollars and on TV. But there's a lot of success in between making millions of dollars and making nothing, right? So, I mean, but did you all have a moment when you felt like, okay, we're about to turn this corner and we're about to start doing it? Like, did that moment come where you felt like it was about to happen?
You did. When we linked up with Fatty, and this is before, like, now us and Fatty, we like family, but when we, like, we didn't know him at all, but he was making the hottest music out at that time. So when we linked up with him, it was like, we were just so excited, you know. We just knew, like, okay, we gonna put in this work with him, we gonna get it in, and we gonna get a deal. It didn't happen, but we definitely had that moment where we felt like we were on our way to something big.
Now, Fatty Banks, for those of you who don't know, is a producer based out of the Cleveland area. Has worked with people who are famous and not famous. Man, he's definitely well respected in the state of Ohio and other places as well. Now, remember that time period of y'all connecting with Fatty Banks, and it got around, you know, the community of Cleveland hip hop artists, and it was like, whoa, they working with Fatty? Like that raised a few eyebrows. Tell us how that connection even came to be, because once again, you girls were not, you weren't what people would even imagine that Fatty would work with at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, first of all, you were females. Second of all, y'all weren't like super glammed up. You were very authentic and very gritty. So how did that connection even come to be?
This is crazy. It's a crazy story. We actually met him at a show. I think it was a show Ray Jr., maybe him and Ray Jr. was having at the time, and we were on a show. And it was something being said about us not being able to perform or something like that. And, like, we went off. Like, we went off. And then we ended up being able to perform. And Toy was pregnant at the time, and she killed it on stage. After that, he liked us. He took a liking to us. And we met, and he did feel like we was a little rough around the edges. But it was something about us that he liked. He knew he could take our voices and work with us, and try to develop us into a nice female rap group. And that's what he ended up doing.
Now, it's something funny that you mentioned, as far as being able to do shows or having to do shows and just the ups and downs of that. I recall several shows where it's like, DLC's about to perform, and then seeing DLC walk out like, screw this crap.
That goes back to females like us feeling like it was a lot of times when we felt like we got played. Like, people were trying to play us because we were females, and we like, no.
Yeah, I can say I was at least two or three of them shows where it was like, y'all were about to perform, and then all of a sudden I see the back of Miss Luck's ass walking out the door. like where they going? But I mean, what would it be? Would it be like people like promising, oh, we're gonna pay you this, or we're gonna give you this? I mean, what would be the case where it would make you guys say, nah, we out of here?
It may be like putting us on at the very end, because money wasn't involved a whole lot. I mean, us paying it out, but not us getting paid. Like, people trying to put us on at the last minute. And you got 20 acts on a show, you know, something like that. Something happened at the first Hip Hop Awards show. I don't remember what happened, but I know that ended up being chaotic.
Now,
I don't remember
exactly what went wrong with Ohio Hip Hop Awards with you all, but I know that you all did definitely get nominations over the years for the best group, and that said a lot, because like I said, when you guys first started, there were a nice amount of female rap artists who were doing their thing, and you guys seemed to kept surviving, and every year you kept evolving and being there, and you were a presence. People recognized you, and you got nominations, like I said, at the Ohio Hip Hop Awards, which is like the biggest thing you can get in the state of Ohio. As a group, to be able to get those nominations, what did it mean to you all, especially initially when you first got the nomination?
It meant a lot to us just to be recognized. And I mean, for one, I definitely want to say you totally helped out with that, with articles or having other people or magazines write articles. You know, just helping us, like, Rebel Life Media really helped DLC, like, keep our name out there. And you showed us how to keep our name out there, how to continue to be relevant. You know, you can do all the underground shows you want to in the world, but if nobody reads about you, or if nobody hears about you elsewhere, then it really, I want to say it don't matter, but it really don't. It meant a lot to us to be recognized. Like, it meant a lot to know that, not just to be recognized with the awards, but people still ask me about DOC, like, what's up with the group? So it still means a lot to me. Everything that we got recognized for, or the people that were fans of our music, I know it means a lot to all of us.
You know, I definitely had to deal with a lot of artists over the years, just having Rebel Army Radio back in the day, dealing with Cleveland artists left and right, having people that I knew that was in the industry, and then having people that I just was meeting. But I definitely saw the hard work that you all were doing. And, you know, yes, I sometimes leaned towards you guys, which I was accused of, but it was deserved. Like, you know, I had friends who were also making records who I didn't lean towards because they didn't work hard. So, you know, you just gotta know who to help. Yeah, you basically try to help the people who help themselves. And as for the most part, you guys helped yourselves. And so I saw, like, man, why not help these ladies who are helping themselves? I remember having a situation with the radio station Z1079 in Cleveland, where I was working with the Call and Post newspaper. So we had this little partnership, and they would, you know, tell us some people to write about, and I would tell them some people to put on the radio. And that partnership did not last long. However, I just was like, I knew it wasn't going to last long, but I was like, man, we're going to get DLC on the radio. So, boom, what was it? I can't remember which song it was. Too Raw, I think. And, yeah, you guys was on the radio. And some people was like, how'd that happen? You know?
So
it was like, it was my pleasure to do it, but at the same time, you guys earned everything that you got. One thing I want to ask you, though, is because there were times where you all did disappear, and there were ups and downs over those years, and times where I even looked at it like, shoot, should I even mess with DLC no more? You know, that type of thing. Just describe, I mean, you don't have to go into super detail, but describe the highs and lows of dealing with four women who are very close, and maybe too close at times to do business with. Was that a struggle, and was that, you know, one thing that maybe kind of hurt the group in the long run?
How can I sum this one up? It was very difficult, but I will say we had a great time with each other, but it was very difficult because we were in a group. So, you know, whatever happens in one person's life, we would feel like affected all of us. So like you said, we did have ups and downs. But during that, those downs, what a lot of people don't know is we were still planning. If somebody got pregnant, okay, we gonna hurry up, do this photo shoot real quick. We gonna keep recording, so by the time we drop this baby, boom, we got another mixtape coming out. You know, we never gave up on ourselves, never gave up on the music. In hindsight, towards the end, I think that's when it really got bad. I took, like, everything everybody did or whatever was happening with everybody. I just felt like it affected the group or it would affect my life. And I know a lot of people may say, you know, she always has something to say or whatever, and I did, and it may have came off as judgmental, but now that I'm a little older, I realize when you're working with people or when you're in a group, you just got to learn to respect everybody for who they are and know how to work with everybody. And if you can't work with everybody for who they are, then you just have to remove. Or if you can't respect everybody for who they are, then you just have to remove yourself from the situation. Nonetheless, when we were together and when we had those ups and downs, we always stayed grinding, even if it wasn't in the public eye. We were either in the studio or coming up with plans or putting some money together to buy some more CDs. You helped us out a couple times. And what was that CD, like a compilation CD of like DOC songs?
Yeah, I had the DLC catalog in my computer.
Right. So, you know, we always stayed like working. We always stayed grinding, and that's one thing I love about us. And like you said, we worked hard for everything that we did, and we did. And it wasn't just you that was like, "Well, maybe I shouldn't work with them." A lot of people did that to us. Like, people wouldn't even answer our phone calls. I ain't forget that. Some people wouldn't even answer the phone. Okay, but we like to prove people wrong. You know what I mean? Just because, and again, that goes back to us being women. Just because somebody have a baby, that don't mean their life over.
Right.
Not if you a hustler. Not if you really trying to get it, you know. And if I'm having a baby, that means I need to grind a little harder. So, we had our ups and downs, but at the end of the day, we always had a plan.
Well, I mean, entertainment industry is fickle anyway. But you know, if you're away, you're back. You're away, you're back. It's like it's tough. It's tough on you. It's tough on the people who want to support you. It's tough. So, you know, I can't fault anyone saying, okay, never mind. But at the same time, you know, you got to be blessed with some people that's going to believe in you no matter what. And so that's how it is. We all need that. Me, you, everybody. So,
No, I understand. You know, I don't fault anybody. But it was just some people that we thought, you know, that we were really close to. And
yeah.
When you stop answering the phone, it's kind of like, that ain't for real.
Right.
But it's okay.
I think the dopest moment that I can think of for you guys, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, so we would do for a 6-year period, we did the Rebel Army Radio Awards in Cleveland, where we celebrated the best rap artist in the city, which it was fun to do. And then when it was time to stop doing it, it was time to stop doing it. But during those years, that was some of the years where you guys were really doing your thing. And one of the years you guys closed the show out and you did a concert. I thought that you guys did an excellent job. I thought that it captured both eras of DOC in a sense, because there was a gritty era and there was a more polished era when you all started working with Fatty Banks, and I think it captured both visually and sound wise too. You guys did songs from pre Fatty era, post Fatty era, and it was dope. Tell me, you know, how you guys approached that concert, because for those who don't know, and many people may not know this, but you guys had a I recorded the show. The show ended up getting picked up, and it was distributed through Open Film, who put it on TiVo. So if you had a TiVo machine, you could search DOC Showstoppers and download the concert. And that was actually all the way until last year you could do it. Actually, all the way until the beginning of this year, you could download that concert. So for like a, I want to say, when was that? Like 2010, maybe? 2011?
Or 2011. I think it was 2011.
So for like a 4-year period, you could download that concert, or three and a half, 4-year period. You could download that concert and put it. I still actually have it on my TiVo machine. But that was a opportunity for, you know, people all over the world, or all over the country at least, to be able to see you guys. But what was your, as a unit, what was your game plan going into this show where you guys got a 20-minute set for, you know, an audience to sit and watch you perform? Because I'm sure you guys had never done 20 minutes like that, you know, in your usual performances.
We wanted to highlight both sides of us. Like you said, we had that raw, gritty side, and then we had a more polished side. And we rehearsed a lot for that show. Like, we wanted to put on a great show. Like, we were really happy that we were closing it out and that we were able to showcase some of our best music. So we really put a lot into that show. I did love that show, and I love the way we looked on stage together at that show.
Yeah, it was a cool night. I think that was probably like my favorite Rebel Army Radio Awards, because we got a free performance out of Flesh and Bone. And that happened out of nowhere. Like, he called me right before the show, and I just asked him earlier that year to just accept this Lifetime Achievement Award pretty much and just come. And as he's driving to the show, he's like, I want to do a song. Because for some reason, like, the word around the city just started kind of going off, and people going, oh, this show. And so he heard about it. He's like, I want to do a song. And he actually wanted to do more and was about to, but I had to give him the look and say, hey, man, you know, but yeah, that was a really dope night.
That was a good show. The whole show was good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. I had a great time just rewatching it and even seeing, like, okay, that night it all went well for the most part. And then from there, or maybe even before that, just being in the publications. And I know, yes, I had a part in that, but still, to be able to get into these publications is not easy. You guys kept working, kept busy. I got a call from Murder Dog. They asked me, like, yo, tell us about some Cleveland artists and we'll throw them in. And so I definitely thought about the people that I saw that were visible that weren't getting the exposure anywhere else. And of course you all were first in mind. So being able to get into those national publications, like, I mean, when you think back, especially being a little bit younger, did it matter as much? Did you all maybe think, like, did you think, like, okay, this is a big deal? Did you take it for granted? Like, as a whole, what did you all think of all of that at the time? Because I'm sure, like, the first time you see yourself in a publication, you're like, yay, it's the greatest thing ever. But being in it like 10 times or, you know, 11 times, I'm sure it's not as big as the first time. So you know, did it mean as much to you all every single time, or, you know, how did you all handle that?
It did mean a lot to us every single time. We kept those, I know, like, when we first got those magazines, like, we kept those in our cars. I think like I had to take mine out the window because I didn't want the pages to mess up. But it meant a lot to us. Like, I have a bag of all my, not all of them. I wish I had all of them, most of them. Like, some of our news articles, my Ohio Hip Hop Awards tags, the magazine, Murder Dog magazine. I had all of that stuff. That was dope. Like, every time we would see ourselves in a newspaper or a magazine, we was pumped. Like, that meant a lot to us.
How did other people handle it? Did you get any kind of love or anti-love because it's competitive, so a lot of other people would love to have that spot or to be seen. So how was it taken by other artists?
I don't know. Because we always got a lot of love, and if other artists did have something negative to say, they definitely did say it to us. So I don't know how other artists took it. If it was negative, we definitely got, comments, good comments, positive comments, but no negative comments, not to our faces.
You, as a solo artist, you kind of said, okay, now you mentioned something about removing yourself from the situation. While things kind of came to a halt with the group, definitely you and Boy Toy stayed busy in your own ways. And so me and you actually were able to work on a project together where I made a film about a All-American track runner by the name of Shaniqua McGinnis, who was from Cleveland as well, who ran at Ohio State, and you did the soundtrack to the movie. And in doing that, you got an Ohio Hip Hop Award nomination. Oftentimes it's kind of difficult. Like, I've seen people who were solo artists and then became a member of a group and got nominations on that end, but to be a part of a group and then become a solo artist and get nominations for both ends, I don't think I've seen any females do that in the whole 10-year history of Ohio Hip Hop Awards, such as yourself. Being able to do that, being able to get that nomination as a solo artist as well, I'm sure that was fun and gratifying for you.
It was fun and gratifying because that's one thing I always wanted to do. I never wanted to leave the group, but I did want to just make some music by myself. Being nominated was, I'm just like, that whole experience right there, that happened like right before I kind of got off the music scene, and I'm happy I went out on that note. I was cool with that. Like, that was a great experience. So I think it was in Columbus that year. Talking to other artists, just being nominated, having that music online. What was it, on iTunes?
Yeah.
It was good. It was a great feeling. It was one thing I didn't get to do. I'm not going to say it, just in case it may come up eventually one day in my life. But there was only one regret that I had that I didn't get to do it. Maybe I get to do it one day. But that was dope. I mean, and one thing that I loved about it was in the beginning, like when I started making the music for that soundtrack, I had support from some of the group members. And it's always good when you can have support when the people that you care about or you care about their opinions support you. You know, that meant a lot. But in the end, I don't know. It worked out. Yeah.
Now, you right now, you're doing things in the community. You went from the gritty rap girl to now you're a career woman and a mother, and you have programs that benefit young women and help them with opportunities and self-esteem and things of that nature. Let's hear about that.
Well, one thing a lot of people don't know is while I was out there partying on the late night and going to the studio and having all these shows. I was in school. So I have a degree, a bachelor's degree, and then I have two master's degrees. And I've been at the library since, I think I've been there for like 13 years. So after the music didn't work out, I still had my job at the library. I still had my education. And I took everything that I learned from being a music artist into my actual work at the library, which really helped me out. So again, I don't have any regrets. I learned a lot from being in the music, and it just helped me evolve in my work. I actually started two big programs, and it started out by me partnering with Fatty on like some music projects where we take researched information and we would turn it into hip-hop music with the kids. They would take notes, we would do research, they would take notes, and then we would take those notes and actually turn it into lyrics, and they would be able to record it and have music to take home with them. So that started. He got into the school system. I was moving up in the library, and then boom, I started Girl Power, which is, well, Girl Power and Man Up Cleveland. So Girl Power is for the girls, and Man Up Cleveland is for the young men. And both of those programs are empowerment and leadership programs where we have like 200 to 250 kids come to the library for one day. And during that day, they get to engage with multiple community organizations and celebrity guest speakers. So one of our guest speakers that we had earlier this year that the girls loved was actually Miss Skittles. She gave away a couple of her books. Our first guest speaker we had was Free from 106 and Park for Girl Power. And for Man Up Cleveland, we had Maurice Clarette. And for the next Man Up Cleveland, I can't announce who we may have coming. I can't say yet.
Can't say yet.
But
no exclusives here.
No exclusives. But at the end of the day, I love what I do. I want to empower our youth. I want to help turn them into leaders of the community because they are our future. And if we don't work with them, you know, that's another thing, and I'm going to say this real quick while I'm on this podcast. I feel like sometimes some of us music artists, as adults, we get so caught up in ourselves, right? In our careers and what we want to do, and that's okay. But you also have to put that same type of energy into your kids. If you have kids, and this is just my opinion, if you have kids, you need to be putting the same type of energy into your kids.
Look at that.
Just throwing that out there.
Just throwing it out there for all you people with children.
Once I had my kids, I had my son first. I think we still dropped the mixtape after that. We did. And then once I got pregnant with my daughter, that was kind of like a wrap for me. And then I was working on my second master's, and now I'm a children's librarian, and I truly love what I do. At one point, my heart was in the music, but now my heart is just fully into my family, my work, and working in the community.
And I can attest that that is 100% true, because I can hardly find this woman because she's always working in the community and with her children. So
yeah, I'm always promoting programs. Hey.
So let me say this. We talked earlier in the interview about me helping DOC And I can say that in return, Erica Marx, formerly known as Lil Sexy, has paid it back. I went from just doing newspaper work and you know, radio work to making movies, and you have assisted me in having two of my movies played at the Cleveland Public Library downtown.
And yes, which were very successful. They still talk about that East Cleveland movie screening too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it, you know, definitely. I had two films, one about our neighborhood, East Cleveland, and the other one just about the Ohio, the Cleveland hip hop scene or whatever. And to be able to have a home for those films was very helpful, especially during that time period where I was finding myself as a filmmaker, and it wasn't as easy to get a film played. And so, once again, having, they say it's not who you know, but who will say they know you. And so, for you to be able to help me out with that, just, it showed a lot, because there are a lot of people who, and this is not me complaining, but it's just the truth. I've helped a lot of people who don't give a crap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, for you to turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to help you. Just showed a lot about the woman that you are, and about our relationship, and I appreciate that.
But you know what, too, that's kind of what I learned, too, like coming from the music, and then when you're stepping into another field, it's like you see who's there and who is not. Mm-hmm. And I really love the fact that I can still work with you and work with Fatty. Like, for us to go from the music to dealing with all the riffraff, unprofessionalism, people not taking things serious, and to be able to bring that into what I do now, not the negativity, but you guys, mm-hmm. to be able to still work with you guys or help you guys out in any kind of way, it means a lot to me personally.
Look at that. And so yeah, that's the cool thing, and that's one reason why we're here today. I was just I called you just to call you the other day, just to say hello. But when I texted you today, I was like, man, why not have her on this podcast to just share her story, share about, you know, coming up in the scene during that time period. It was very unique for a lot of people. You know, and there are still people rapping and still making music in Cleveland. That will never stop, probably. However, that time period was very unique because of the recent millennium change and the recent technology that allowed people to make music easier. The recent birth of social media at the time, you know, it's like a lot of things changed drastically, which allowed people to make music and be heard in a way that they had never been heard before. So it was a very special time period for a lot of people, and some people were able to make something out of it, some people weren't, some people became better people from it, and some people didn't. And so when I look at your time period, I think I see it as a success, because you all you accomplished things that a lot of people didn't accomplish. Like you guys was on a freaking TV news rapping. What was it, Fox 8 or something? Being able to go on there.
It's still on YouTube.
Yeah, being able to go on there and showcase your talent, like, people would kill for that, you know. But you also learned too that, okay, when you get something, there's more responsibility from it. And so, once again, I salute DOC Showstoppers. Thank you so much for being on the show. And hopefully we could get you on again to talk more about what you have going on and the importance of it, as far as, you know, the organization that you have, and the work that you're doing in the community. We could talk about that in more in depth. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All good.
We hope you enjoyed that interview with Erica Marx. You know, we're going to, you know, go back to our usual wildness and craziness next week, but keeping it happy at the same time. And we just want to remind you, like we do every week, remember, happiness is a choice.